A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it had been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out, and there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that star that had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When he was first starting out in ministry, my mentor's mentor, the great Southern Baptist prophet and gadfly, Carlisle Marney, made a promise to himself. "I would follow New Light into any place as soon as I knew it to be New Light," he said. For that, Marney was made a pariah amongst many of his Southern Baptist peers, earned the taboo label liberal in the conservative South, and ended up being someone whose ideas many in the mainline church are just now beginning to catch up with 5 decades after his passing. That is the way it always is with the seers, those who stand watch on the break of new dawns. They behold new light and they follow it. But it is years or decades or even centuries before others dare themselves to follow it, or even acknowledge that it exists. So Jesus said, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light. We are in the season of light and the Sunday of the Epiphany. The light epiphanied in the night sky, and the wise men came from afar to see. I confess, I panicked that I would have nothing new to say to you about this old story today. I almost always panic like that. But then I opened my sermon file to Matthew 2, and there was that Marnie quote I placed in the file some time back, and then the epiphany of something new. My wonder if there were others who saw the new light too, but had made no promises to themselves to follow. The light was seen in the east, but what about the west? Was the light not just as visible there? Was the star not just as bright over Israel as it was over Orient? Was the star of Bethlehem really invisible to all of the rest of Jerusalem and Judea? Or were there simply no eyes to see it and or no courage to confess it? There would be reason not to see, of course. Good cause to tell oneself there was nothing to report. King Herod was not interested in receiving reports of any new lights. New light to him was a threat. And when the report came, Herod was afraid and all of Jerusalem with him. No wonder then it was the Magi from the east who had to tell him, because no one else would have had the guts. Everybody else went right on pretending like a new son had not been born over the old city. And if history has anything to teach us, that is what happens when sons and science get caught up in politics. People pretend not to see. As early as the 5th century BCE, Greek philosophers conceived that the earth was a sphere rotating around the central fire of the sun. But for 1,400 years, the West held firm to the idea of the sun rotating around the earth, because the Pope thought the earth-centered worldview was the biblical worldview. And because the Pope said so, even most of the so-called learned in Christendom refused to believe the science. Frustrated with the closed-mindedness, Galileo, who was subjected to house arrest for daring to say that the earth was not the center of the universe, wrote an exasperated letter to the German mathematician Johannes Kepler. "My dear Kepler," he said, "what would you say of the learned who in stubbornness steadfastly refuse to cast a glance through the lens of the telescope? What shall we make of this? Shall we laugh or shall we cry?" Whether we are talking about the earth revolving around the sun, or the universe being older than 6,000 years, or the atmosphere warming at an unsustainable rate, or sex and gender not being the exact same thing, believing the science is an old, old problem. And there are many who throughout the centuries have said and still say something like the sign that was seen on a prominent politician's desk back in the 1950s. My mind is made up. Don't confuse me with the facts. But facts are stubborn things. And while they can be ignored or denied for a certain time, eventually, three magi from the east will arrive, and all of Jerusalem will have to decide whether they see the star or not. There's a comical take on all of this in a new Netflix movie that is just out called Don't Look Up. A comet is careening towards Earth, but acknowledging it is bad politics. So the politicians come up with a simple slogan, "Don't look up." And it works until it doesn't. The movie can be taken as a metaphor for our responses to global warming, or the pandemic, or a whole lot of other things. We will only believe what we are at first willing to see. And whether it is Herod, or the Pope, or the politicians, or the Board of Regents, or whoever else, there is always someone in a position of power with too much to lose to look up. Even many of the so-called learned will not look up. They won't look out. They will never peer into the telescope for fear of where it might lead and what it might cost. That is why Galileos are so rare and special. People who are not only smart, but are also wise and courageous and willing to go to the light, even if where it leads is to a place of personal and professional sacrifice and the risk of being made a pariah amongst one's peers. That is always the risk of new revelation. It's the second day of the new year, a time for making resolutions. If we are still looking for ours, some have already quit the gym they joined yesterday. How about this one? How about in 2022, not only being open-minded, but also courageous? How about going where the light leads us? What about promising ourselves to look up and dare to see what it is we see, even if what we see unsettles us and all of Jerusalem with us? This is my thesis this morning, that there were many others who could have seen the star if they only would have seen the star. My dear Desmond Tutu just died. Many of you know how much of an influence he was on my theology and life, so much so that I named our firstborn son after him, Daniel Desmond Price. Whether it was coming to terms with the history and truth of one's nation, or embracing the full equality of gay people, or more recently speaking out about the need to do something to address climate change, Tutu was a great hero to me. Something the arch often said fits well with what it is I'm trying to say this morning. There's nothing more difficult, he used to say, than waking someone who is only pretending to be asleep. There were reasons why all of Jerusalem pretended to be asleep and not notice the new star in the night sky. To notice was risky. It was dangerous. It was much, much safer just to go on to pretend to sleep in the pitch dark. I think this is the reason why Matthew began his gospel with the Magi. He included this story because he saw it as representative. Many Gentiles in Matthew's day were coming to the light of Christ from far, far away, while those in and around Jerusalem were afraid to really look and see. So Jesus says in the book of Matthew, many will come from the east and the west to share in the kingdom of heaven, but the sons of the kingdom will be thrown out into the outer darkness. The light of Christ epiphanied in the heavens. And it epiphanied in hearts. But many who saw the light and felt the light stirring within them didn't know where the light would lead them. Or maybe they did know, and they were afraid. And their fears kept them from following, kept them from coming, kept them in King Herod's darkness rather than coming to Christ's light. But some did come. And as Isaiah says in the Old Testament lesson today, the glory of the Lord arose and was radiant upon them. This is what it is to live in the light of Christ. It is to live with courage and to come and to see and to be saved from our own ignorance and fear. It's 2022. Let us dare to live in the light of Christ this year. Let us dare to be open to new epiphanies. For the world needs more Galileos and more Tutus and more Marnies and more wise men and wise women who are not only smart enough to see, but also courageous enough to follow the light wherever it is that the light leads. For the light still beckons, and it still shines. After 2,000 years, the light of Revelation is still shining anew. So arise, beloved, and let us go, and let us see this thing in Bethlehem. And also beyond. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, and Mother of us all, and all of God's people then said,